Hello, this is Richard Allibone on webtalkradio.net, showing that paranormal is normal for some people, like my guest, Dr. Jude Currivan, who has all her life been used to experiences that could not be explained. She has a degree in physics on cosmology and quantum physics. She had a very successful business career using her intuitive gifts to good advantage, making her the finance director to international companies and named as the most senior businesswoman in Britain. Since retiring, she has travelled the world to visit spiritual and historic sites. She believes that our minds are connected on a non-local basis, what I would call telepathy, but she has a much wider view of these things. Let me introduce to you Dr. Jude Currivan. Hello.
Hello, Richard.
Yes, Dr. Jude Currivan.
Hi, it's nice to hear your voice.
Right, well, it's very nice of you to come on my talk today.
Well, I'm delighted to be invited, thank you.
Yes, about paranormal being normal, which yes. I believe you thought was a rather good title.
I think it's an excellent title, and from my own experience, it's very much the case.
Well, I've had a few little experiences in my time, which has led me to a state of general inquiry on these things, and I've made a lot of study, and 70-odd years I've been thinking about these things. But anyway, I believe you started some sort of strange experiences at a very early age.
Well, I did. I wouldn't describe them as strange. And you know, when you're that young, and I was 4 years old, I don't know when you started having your experiences, but my first one was, that I can recall at any rate, was when I was 4 years old, and a discarnate light essentially came into my room. And at that age, you know, I didn't know it was strange, and still don't. And that really began this lifelong quest of mine, just as yours has been, to understand, you know, the nature of reality.
Yes, I had a telepathic experience with my mother when I was about three, I think, but only on and off a few experiences since. But I think you've had, you know, a host of experiences or gifts, whatever you like to call them.
I prefer to call them experiences, because I think they're an intrinsic part of all of us. What I do feel is that so often, and I don't know how your mum reacted if you spoke to her about this telepathic connection, but, you know, I think a lot of parents, certainly perhaps of our era, would have told a child not to be silly or not to stop imagining things. And I guess I was very fortunate, because although I had a mum who, I'm sure if I had spoken to her, would have been very open to it, nonetheless, it's odd, I know, but I never had the urge to share what I was experiencing with anyone else until I was an adult. So I never had that pressure, whether it was from a family or friends or whatever, to actually close myself down to those experiences, which I'm
incredibly
grateful.
Yes, well, going back to my experience, I just said to my mother, how does it work? And to which she could not reply, and just said she didn't know. And then the whole thing was quietly forgotten, because she didn't want me to be concerned about it. So that was the end of it. I mean, you said you had experiences, you know, as you grew older. What sort of things did you experience?
Gosh, well, over half a century or more, I've had telepathic contact with people. I've had precognition in dreams and awake of things that were going to happen. I've had audio, you know, clairvoyant and clairaudient experiences. I've heard messages and then found them to be true. I've had clairvoyance and been able to remote view, so see things literally beyond the limits of space and of time. I've had an enormous number of what Jung called synchronicities, which mainstream science really doesn't have as yet, a paradigm for. So many others. I've had out-of-body experiences. I've had an experience of levitation. So many of them.
Well, I can put myself. I put all these experiences down to telepathy, but with one exception, and that is the precognition. I would like to ask you details of the things you saw in advance, as it were. Could they have been explainable by telepathy from somebody else who knew of what was going to happen for some reason?
It's possible, but I think it depends on how wide you spread the definition of telepathy, because if it's a definition that is non-local connectivity of consciousness, then within that broadest of definitions, I tend to say it probably was, although I think we need to really begin to look at what we call time and the nature of time. So to me, what precognition is tapping into, if you like, that higher level of causation before it actually becomes physicalized reality. So the sort of precognition I've had have been where, for instance, in dreams, I've dreamed of something going to happen, which is, perhaps broader than, Richard, perhaps what your definition of telepathy is, but nonetheless, dreams are something that will happen, and sure enough, it's occurred. I've also clairvoyantly seen something. When I've been awake, clairvoyantly seen something about to happen, and it has. And in both of those instances, I've not been able to change that precognitive vision as it's become the present reality.
I had to come back on this, but for me, telepathy covers all sort of mind-to-mind in any way, dreaming being a very usual channel. One dreams of something.
If that's your breadth of definition, I'm completely happy with that.
Dreams pick up something which other people have in the back of their mind, maybe dreaming about or thought about during the day or intended to do in a few days' time, which then you pick up, and then a few days later, whatever it is happens, and it looks like precognition. Do you think a possibility,
Sure. My own sense is that we need to expand our perspective of what comprises reality to encompass an understanding that everything is on many multidimensional levels and scales of existence, consciousness exploring itself. So when we talk about what may be in other people's minds, some of the precognition that I've had doesn't actually involve human consciousness, at least not the connection that I've had. For example, number of years ago, about 12 years or so ago, I had a dream where I was in San Francisco, and I went into a shop in San Francisco, and I saw a crystal skull, and I communicated with the crystal skull, and I can't remember much more about the dream, but just very clear that it was San Francisco, very clear that it was with an entity or an awareness that was embodied within a crystal skull. In other words, not a human consciousness in that sense. Anyway, I woke up the following morning, and about an hour after I'd woken up, I had a telephone call from a woman, because I was organizing a conference to do with sacred space. I lived in the Avery landscape and still do, but I was arranging that conference. And the woman said, hello, you don't know me, we've never spoken, but would you mind if I came to the conference? And I said, no, I'd be delighted to. She said, well, really, I'm coming to bring my crystal skull with me. And I said, oh, that's very interesting. And she said, can I tell you a little bit about this crystal skull? I said, oh, please do. So she proceeded to tell me that she'd found it in a shop in San Francisco. And I said, you better stop there, I said, because last night I had a dream of not of you, but of your crystal skull. And she said, that's very interesting. She said, because he often announces his presence to people before he arrives in their in their lives, he introduces his presence through dreams.
Mm.
And that could well have been her, but it didn't feel like it. It felt more to me, after having so many decades of experiences, that it was rather connecting with whatever consciousness there was within the crystal.
Yes, I see that. But my view would be that she would have been thinking about you.
Maybe.
Because she was going to contact you and made some sort of link with you, perhaps seeing
maybe
a photograph.
Absolutely, quite possible.
Knowing where you live and what you know. And then so she would be thinking about you and that would come across.
Indeed. Yeah. I mean, there's every likelihood of that, and I'm certainly not discounting that. I mean, what you're saying, which I agree with, is that consciousness is non-local.
Very much so. Mm.
And, you know, I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Yes. I'm sitting here looking at something I have pinned up over my desk, and it's three letters. We, letter R, figure one. We are one.
Lovely.
Somebody said that to me, and I thought, that is marvellous. There are many scientists that have said this is the way things are. You know, we are, the human race is all one. Although we fight and scream at each other, we're all interconnected mentally.
Yeah.
On occasion, it comes through as telepathy, mind to mind, whatever you'd like to call it.
Very much so. I mean, I am a scientist as well as a mystic, and because I've researched and studied the nature of consciousness and reality and energy and cosmology all my life, but also experienced it, I've never seen I've always understood and experienced the oneness, not just of humanity, but the oneness of literally all that is. But also, I guess I've never had any perspective that science and spirit have any separation. And I'm delighted that, there is emerging now a greater realization and perhaps a greater willingness by leading edge scientists to bring this reconciliation about and understand the cosmos as primarily conscious.
At this point, Jude, I want to talk about paranormal is normal, which of course it is. You say the cosmos is primarily conscious, as is shown by the oneness that appears to be everywhere. I feel this is your way of expressing the experiences of telepathy, where we appear to have mental connectivity one with another. The problem is that most people, scientists and the general public, do not have these experiences, so find these ideas difficult to understand. But as you say, there is this growing realization that there is something strange going on that we don't understand, which is normally referred to as paranormal. But for you, it's something you have grown up with and have learned to accept as a normal part of life. For you, paranormal is normal. You had no chance, your choice. And you've been searching for an explanation in cosmology and spirituality. My own view is that the solution lies in the revelations of biology, where interconnectedness is becoming apparent between all members of our species across space. As I said, we are one, and not purely the product of DNA and genes, which is what we have been led to believe for the last 40 years. But we are all built to the same plan, both in body and mind, which is the reason that our minds are not separate. And that's just the point. There is a good reason why our minds speak to one another all the time, but we are programmed not to listen, as it would be very distracting, even though some people do hear things sometimes. So, as you say, Jude, the cosmos is primarily conscious. Another thing you spoke about was your precognitive dream about the crystal skull. I have never been at all convinced that we could predict the future, and I think that all apparent precognition is the result of telepathy or telepathic dreams. I think this happens all the time. All around the world, people dream or access the dream state in trance during the day, and they receive information from other people about their intentions or fears concerning something that may happen in the future. If it does happen, then obviously this will look like a prophecy come true. Hence the idea of precognition. And this has occasionally happened continually over the years. Hence the idea of precognition. But it can be explained away by telepathy, which gives a normal explanation for the paranormal idea of precognition. And so, as telepathy itself is perfectly explainable in terms of our fundamental biology, we now have a normal explanation for what might be considered to be paranormal experiences. Sorry, I know I do keep on about this, but the evidence is there, and the result is that many things are understandable and explainable that were not understandable or explainable previously. Try reading my book, Sublimity, or see my large website, sublimity.org.uk. So now back to my conversation with you, Jude.
One thing I believe you've written or said, we are at the gates. I saw that in an article about you. And you feel that we are at the gates of science and the general public seeing the psychic side of life as natural and normal.
I do. I feel we're at the threshold of that emerging vision. I mean, I've just, my new book called Hope, Healing Our People on Earth, is very much about the oneness of all that we are and how, you know, we hold traumas within our personal and collective psyche and that of the earth and how now we can release them. And that's just come out. But my next book is going to be called Light. And in Light, I'll be taking further than I've ever written before the way that, you know, what is emerging very much at the leading edge of science is this resolution, this reconciliation into oneness that I'm excited about. But I think I've also written that, you know, we're like kids at the gate of primary school in a way as well. You know, it's like we're kids beginning a new term. Regarding our consciousness, regarding the consciousness of all that is, you know, we're like kids that haven't even begun school yet. We don't even know how to read and write yet in terms of the possibilities that can unfold as and when we're open to these amazing realities of the oneness that we all are.
Yes, I do agree, and I understand. In fact, I'm sitting here looking at part of your website, which has the book Hope on it, and a description of what it's all about, and that it's available from Amazon, of course. As are a good many other books you've written. I don't know.
I've written Hope is My Fifth in English, but the books now I think are in about 15 languages and 25 countries. So when you go onto Amazon, you actually also see some of the non-English versions, I think, as well. But so I've written 5 books in English and another 3 with Japanese co-authors that are currently just in Japanese, but I'm on to my 6th.
Yes. And a CD, I believe, as well, I saw.
It is, because, my publisher, Hay House, asked me to do a CD of attunements, because one of the things that can expand our awareness and really help us, as you do, Richard, to understand the oneness of all that is through attunement. And I do what I call a universal heart attunement, which takes people beyond the level of their personality-based awareness. And what that does is help them to connect with the oneness. And that's really had some wonderful testimonials of people who find it incredibly helpful, especially, at the current moment. There's so much turmoil in the world, but I wrote Hope, and really all my work is to try and empower people to empower themselves and to perhaps move out of any fears that they might be holding into this oneness that really is love. I mean, I can't describe it any more clearly or any more fundamentally than that. It is the unconditional love that is the oneness.
Yes. And a lot of this, I suppose, these thoughts came about because of the feeling of oneness you got from the experiences you've had over your life.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why the CD seems to be so helpful to people, because it can help them in those attunements, which are very, very simple, to experience that for themselves. Because we both know, this isn't really, as I would describe it, a gift. This is who we are. This is who we really are.
Yeah. I have found, as I'm sure you have, that there is great difficulty in getting people to listen and be interested in paranormal things. Most people tend to switch off because I think there's an underlying fear of what it's all about.
I think that's true in the past. I think, honestly, that is changing because we're changing. I think that, your point about telepathy being, the natural non-locality of our consciousness and that we're all connected with it. I think very, very many people do have such experiences and maybe in the past have not been willing to acknowledge them or to share them. But I really do believe in all my work around the world that is changing. And I think the fact that leading edge science, and I'm talking about, people at the top of their scientific work, are recognizing that we cannot explain or understand the physical world without recourse, first of all, to multidimensional realms, and secondly, to information. So we live in exciting times, I think, when that, the very fragmented and reductionist and limited scientific perspective of the world is really about to turn on its head. And I think that turning on its head, that paradigm busting emerging view, is far too important to leave to a scientist, because it really, will change the way all of us see ourselves and the world.
Yes, I think the connectedness and the information is due to, as I see it, the way that telepathy comes in that before I started talking about telepathy many years ago, I invented the word cytotelesis, which is talking between cells. And in fact, I lectured on this, and I believe that the whole of life and growth it is due to some information sharing between cells, between the members of a species. Mm-hmm. And the people, you know, the neuroscientists are beginning to think that there must be some way that cells tell themselves how to divide.
Yep.
Genes are not what we were told some years ago, in the DNA and genes are not the fundamental of life. They are only a side issue. There has to be some other information sharing.
Yep.
And that information sharing comes through to occasionally to mind to mind, and I'm quite convinced that is the case.
Yeah, wider than cellular. My sense is that the entirety of what we call space and time is fundamentally information sharing at the Planck scale.
Yeah. Yes.
Amazing times, isn't it, when all of this understanding is really now beginning to come forward.
Yes. Yes, it's this information sharing. That is the sort of key phrase, I feel.
Yeah, I do too. In fact, I'm writing a lot about that in my new book called Light.
Mm. Oh, well, yes, which we will look forward to. I have to thank you very much for talking to me. It's been so interesting. And I hope some people, well, I'll give my readers the link to your website, judecurriban.com. Any other websites or links you'd like to mention?
Well, if they could link to www.judecurriban.com, that would be great. And there are some links on there to various other sites. So if they can link to that, they'll get other links to other sites. But thank you, Richard, so much for inviting me to share this with you and to discuss this with you. So it's an amazing time.
Yes, indeed. Okay, well, thank you very much again. Thank you, Jude.
Bye-bye.
Bye then. Bye.
So there we are. There are such people as scientists and prominent business executives who are psychic. Dr. Jude has had a lifetime of experiences which are unusual by most people's standards, but which she had no alternative to accept as her normal way of life. I like to think that intuition in business may have been helped sometimes by some unconscious mind-to-mind experiences, but I could be wrong, even though she does mention special intuition in her website. The other thing that I think is important about today's show is that I was able to offer an alternative explanation for my guest's experience of precognition. We'd all like to foretell the future and to make a fortune gambling on the horses, but amazingly it does sometimes happen to psychic people. And that's the main point. Precognition only happens to psychics who can detect what other people are afraid of or intend to do. And that's exactly what my guest told me today. I hope you enjoyed the show. Listen again to Richard Allibone on webtalkradio.net. Bye for now.